Again, our phone number 684-0123. I'm Bob Cudmore. This is the morning show. We'll go back to another question for archaeologist Del Gould from Amsterdam City historian Rob van Hasselen in just a moment. But Elsa phoned in a question. Just wondering, she asks, how deep they must dig in order to excavate a site. How deep must you dig? Does it vary? And if so, how much?
Oh, it actually varies quite a bit. It certainly just depends on the site itself and from site to site. It can change quite a bit. Say, for instance, if a site's located on a hilltop, generally we don't have to dig very deep at all. As we know, it is generally shallow to glacial deposits, glacial age deposits. Generally, we don't find anything within or below. And that would mark the beginning of human occupation around here. So once we've reached those glacial age deposits, we don't have to look now. Don't have to look any deeper now. Certainly, down along a river where there's the potential for the addition of fill to a site by development as they raise the grade to build something or just add fill for whatever reason that they need to, or a natural process as the river floods and deposits sediment and builds up the soil, that would certainly increase the depth of potential archaeological deposits.
How deep did you dig here?
Several feet.
Oh, okay, several feet.
Yes.
But not like 100 feet or anything?
No. Less than 10, certainly.
Okay.
But, yeah, several feet.
All right, let's go back to Rob van Hasselen. You have another question for Dell.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bob. Dell, I noticed in the inventory that there were, it seemed to me to be a large number of both reduction and finishing flakes. Do you think that this was a site where they were actively producing points?
Yes, I do. Certainly they were probably what it tells us based on looking at the artifact assemblage. Most likely what it is that finished or nearly finished projectile points were carried onto the site, and those were essentially resharpened, maintained. Broken ones were.
Who would this? The Mohawks, or this before the Mohawks?
Before, just certainly that's the process of making and using stone tools. What you do is you the process I was talking about earlier. It's called actually the modern term for it is flint knapping. I'm sure they had their own word for it, in the past. But what you do is by removing a series of flakes, you create a sharp edge. That sharp edge can be used either as a projectile, the darts or the spears or the arrows, or as a knife. As you use it, small pieces break. It becomes dulled. To resharpen it, it's not like a steel tool where you would actually grind it. You would actually remove additional flakes to refurbish that edge. And most of what we found at the site looks like that's what was going on.
I thought you mentioned flint. I thought you said that sometimes they would use the antlers of an animal or like a deer to sharpen?
Deer antler, wood. It just depending on sort of the qualities of the material, hardwoods and antler are relatively similar in a lot of ways and can be used, depending on the material, somewhat interchangeably.
But they also would use flint or no?
Actually, flint and chert are more or less the same thing. Geochemically, the
so
rocks.
So flint is the material they're working on.
Yes, or in this case, chert.
Okay. I'm sorry. You still there, Rob?
Yeah.
Okay. Got another question for him?
Sure. I also noticed in the inventory cobbles, river stones, and those weren't from. A later higher period. Those are from the same periods we're talking about with Native Americans, right?
Yes, I believe so. In some cases, those were modified. In some cases, they weren't. Probably used to as tools themselves. And we did also see some evidence that there was material that was almost certainly collected from the river. As we said before, that there's not any chert specifically in Amsterdam, although stream and river beds, because there's a nearby source, streams and rivers
might carry them down.
Yes. And so they could certainly, occasionally those can be found there. And it looks like some of that material was found in that manner.
I'm almost thinking, again, with my role as a popularizer, I almost see like an ancient people's factory here. Like, we had factories. They had maybe a little factory making these projectile points.
Probably not at a factory. Probably more like chores. Mm-hmm. Just as you would go out in your daily course of or if you're getting ready to go out hunting, fishing, whatever it is you're going to do, you're going to process a deer carcass that you've brought back. You take a look at your toolkit, and you would do the normal maintenance, say sharpening your knife before you mm-hmm. go about something.
Okay. Another question, Rob.
Yeah, the reason I asked about the cobbles was because before improvements in the river, there was quite a large spray of rocks that came down from both the in the vicinity from the north Chuctanunda and the south Chuctanunda. In fact, the river got kind of really shallow there, and there was a lot, you know, you could walk out and grab that kind of stuff easily. So that might be of interest. When it comes to the Mohawks, most of it's pre-contact. Are you seeing contact period at all?
We haven't found anything that would lead us to believe that the Mohawk occupation there was contact. Like I said, we didn't find anything that was European trade goods, mm-hmm. whether they be projectile points made of brass or trade beads, the types of things that start to show up on sites as trade between native peoples and European mm-hmm. settlers okay. started to increase.
And just to be clear, when you say contact, we're talking about when the Europeans come.
Yes.
And so most of the stuff, what your answer is that most of what you found from the Mohawk period is from before the first arrival of the Europeans.
That appears to be the case so far. We don't know everything about the site yet.
Sure.
And that's one of the reasons why that there's additional work to do.
If I can interject a question, I know it's one of the ones that, you know, and again, I mentioned in the beginning kind of the ground rules. I mean, you're the archaeologist and you know, other people will probably make these decisions, but people in Amsterdam, I think, or this area, were excited about this, or I think there's a certain level of excitement about it. And, of course, the question comes, what's going to happen to these artifacts? And as I understand, well, let me ask you that directly. Who makes that decision?
Well, one of the things about it is because these artifacts were collected under federal and state regulations, there are also regulations that govern the ultimate disposition of the artifacts. The New York State Museum is going to take possession of the artifacts at the conclusion of the excavations, and that's where they'll be. They'll essentially become the property of the people of the state of New York.
And also the Mohawk Nation is involved, though. But I gather from, again, Eddie Munger's story, he talked to several representatives of the nation, and they indicate that they usually work with the New York State Museum. They seem, I guess as the phrase goes, cool with that. You know, we work with them on these projects.
That's my understanding. We've actually had meetings with the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer, serves as the voice of the tribe in these sort of more or less statutory proceedings, the federal and state regulations that govern this. And he is part of the process. And, they seem to be happy with the New York State Museum.
And let me go out on a limb here. It doesn't sound that you found anything that might be problematic at the moment so far as the Mohawks are concerned. And they're often most concerned with remains of their people.
Oh, yes, that's obviously a very sensitive issue, and we have, at this point, no reason to believe that there are any human remains on site, although we do have a protocol in place should they be discovered.
Okay. Rob, did you have another question?
Yeah, one more on that period, then I had one on a historical, if you can. There's, I've seen evidence of indicating that there were limestone kilns in the area early in the history of Amsterdam. Did you see anything in the dig that indicated that?
No, we did not find anything that looked like it might be an early historical industry per se, certainly not anything like limestone processing. By the historic artifacts that we found, it looks like there may have been a home industry there that was involved with sewing or the making of clothing, although that could have just been sort of home home use as well, but we did find a lot of needles and buttons, and certainly the number of which led us to believe that there may have been a seamstress who might have occupied the property at one point.
This is maybe, what, the 1800s we're talking
about? Yeah, would be sometime in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Good. And you said you had another question, Rob?
Yeah. Some of the stoneware that's indicated ranges back, you know, earliest possible date is 1762, and that's kind of early for that particular portion of Amsterdam in terms of European settlement. Anything you can add about that particular kind, the earliest European ceramics you found?
Actually, what it looks like is that our occupation at the site probably dates to around the time that the canal was being built or was finished, the 1820s. The manufacturing dates are the earlier things. They're durable goods. They last a few years. The earliest date of manufacture may not necessarily be accurate. But also it appears that prior to actual historic occupation of the site where people were actually building and living there, that it was agricultural land. And one of the things that happened in the agricultural fields is that the when the privies were cleaned out, which included not only what we're most familiar with, but also artifacts as well. They served as garbage receptacles. And a lot of times the materials that were recovered from that, they were delivered to farmers, sold to farmers to use as manure, and those artifacts were incorporated into it. So sometimes we find older artifacts that were transported from elsewhere that get incorporated into agricultural fields, and that's certainly a possibility here.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Rob, I thank you, unless you got something else you wanted to bring up.
No, that's it for now, Bob. It's great. It's great having an opportunity to learn more about this. It's a very exciting prospect, and looking forward to learning more as time goes on.
Yeah, it certainly makes Amsterdam a much more interesting city historically, don't you think?
I do, and you're right about people being interested in this. As I told you in a recent email, I got stopped in the local Stewart's, and people were like, can you tell me what's going on over there? You know, a lot of people have worked up on it. It's not just history buffs, it's people in the street, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care.
Del.